You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans 11. There's one verse I want to bring out there. And we've been teaching on the last few weeks on Sundays, we've been teaching on salvation. And salvation 101, what it is. And salvation, what does it mean? Things you need to know about salvation. You know, just simple truths about salvation. And we teach series here quite a bit. I'll get on a subject. It may be healing. We may teach for a few weeks on that, a few weeks on, you know, salvation, a few weeks on confession or prayer or, you know, or something along those lines. And we do that to just intensify and to just hammer it in and look at it at different angles. And so if you're faithful to come, you'll get a good, solid, round teaching, balanced teaching on something. You know, sometimes you just hear one message and you don't really get the context. You get maybe one point, and you'll think that's all there is. And if you don't hear the rest of the story, and now for the rest of the story, you begin to see there's a balance to that. You know, we've been misquoted. Every church has. Goodness, every politician has been misquoted. They've been soundbited to death, you know, where they'll just take one piece of something they said and take it out of context. And many times we're accused of that because we believe in prosperity, we believe in healing, or we believe in confession. They'll say, oh, you're that name it and claim it bunch, or you're that blab it and grab it bunch, and you know, and so on and so forth. But we do believe in naming the promise and claiming the promise. Now, that's true, but we don't believe you just call anything into existence and pray for anything that's not promised in the Bible. Are you with me? So there's a balance to it. Amen? Okay. Are you out there? Okay. Y'all found Romans 11. I want to kind of throw something out of either or. Everybody say either or. Okay, so when we talk about salvation, I want to talk about either or. It's either this or it's that. It's not one or it's not both. You know, many people say God's good, and some people say God's bad. Well, it can't be both. He's either good or bad. He's good. Amen? We know from the Scripture he's good. And God doesn't heal you and make you sick. You can't have it both ways. He's not the Lord that healeth thee and the Lord that maketh thee sick. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Hallelujah. This is going to be an exciting message, I can tell. Y'all are so stirred up. I can tell the way y'all already amen and jumping and shouting. Y'all try to maintain. Let me finish my message because I know you're wanting to shout. So just stay calm. You know, often you hear this thing about salvation, you know, if I'm good enough, or he's bound to go to heaven, he was a good man, or he did some good things, or whatever. Of course, according to Scripture, that's not the case. You can't be good enough to go to heaven. The Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And that's talking about us in our ability and our efforts and our goodness and all the good deeds we do. We're just not perfect. Are you with me? And it's just never going to happen in the natural. That's why Jesus came. That's the whole story, the whole gospel story. Jesus came to pay a price for you that you could not pay. He paid a debt that he didn't know. There's no song, you know, he paid a debt he did not owe. Christ Jesus. I'm going to start that song because I can't remember how it goes. How does it go, Mo? Yeah, washed our sins away. That's part of it, yeah. It's a little more than that, but that's a... We owed a debt we could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. That's Christ Jesus. Yeah. Okay, y'all be quiet. Let me finish the message. But that's the gospel story. He came and he paid for something we couldn't pay for. He paid something he didn't owe, but we did. And we were never going to pay it. I mean, it was just too high. It demanded a perfect sinless life, and none of us have lived a perfect sinless life. That's not an excuse for us to sin. That's just an observation on the way things are. I mean, we're not perfect. We get mad. We get upset. Hopefully, as a Christian, as a believer, we do live better. And we can live better, and God empowers us to overcome sin. But perfection, that's only in Jesus. Amen? Now, if you're a Christian, this is not an excuse to sin just because we're saved by grace, not by works. And I'm saying that. I don't want anybody to get that idea, because that's not what the Bible teaches. But there's no amount of going to church and reading my Bible and praying that's going to get me to heaven if I don't believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus, and that's what saves me. And that compels me to go to church, and it compels me to pray, and it compels me to sing and worship him and to live right and repent when I sin and try to do better. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But here in Romans 11, notice it's in the fifth verse. It says, even so then at this present time, Also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Everybody say of grace. Now think about it. The only people elected to go to heaven are those that have accepted the favor or the grace of God. The election, as it were, is not on God's part. Stay with me. It's not that he just chose you to be saved and you're not saved and you are saved. It's not going around like that. The election is that everyone accepts this grace goes to heaven. If you're going to try to live according to your works and be good enough to go to heaven, you're not going to make it, because it's only grace that gets us to heaven, not works. If you think, well, I'm just a good old boy, you know, East Texas, you know, we hear a lot about good old boys. Or simple man. I'm just a simple man. I actually preached a funeral. Somebody played that at a funeral. But just being a good old boy is not going to get you to heaven, because really you're not that good. I don't want to pop your bubble, but it needs to be popped. Hello. None of us are good enough to go to heaven. And this election that he's talking about here, God has elected all that accept the grace of God. Now, that's your choice. I mean, it's not his choice. It's your choice to accept his favor and his grace. Salvation's a gift that he's offered to us, not a wage we earn. It's not something we deserve. Are you with me? Often we go through life and something bad happens, we'll say we don't deserve this. Well, actually, we probably do. We deserve a whole lot worse. But God favored us where we can go get around some things, amen, overcome some things because of his love for us. And he says, and it's by grace. If by grace, sixth verse, if it's by grace, and it is, then it's no more of works. Y'all see that? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it's of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Hallelujah, somebody. See, it's either or. It's not both. Well, I believe in it's because I believe on Jesus, and then I'm real good after that. Well, God forbid you'd believe on Jesus and not be real good after that. We're not condoning living wickedly, you know, as it were, after that. But it's by grace or it's by works. Woo, that's good preaching. Hallelujah. I'm saved by grace. How about you? I should live holy. Yes, no question. That's another subject altogether, and that should be dealt with. And I think too many times it's not dealt with. We almost have the idea we can just live any way we want to because we believe in Jesus. But if you believe in Jesus, you're not going to want to live any way you want to. You're going to want to change your life and live differently and so on and so forth. So that's a given. And in fact, that's how I know you're saved, is by your fruits. If you have love one toward another, I can see in your actions and your words, just from the way you live and the way you talk and the way you walk, it should be evident that we believe on Jesus. Amen? But that doesn't save us. Thank God we're saved by grace or favor. Everybody say favor. See, grace is just favor. It's just God's gift. He just offered it to us. Hallelujah. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But he just loved us so much, he didn't want us to go to hell, so he sent Jesus to pay the price for our sins. We were never going to pay the price for it. We were never going to be that good. He knew that, so he made a way, you know, where he could cancel our sin, cancel out our debt, cancel out and change us if we're willing to just accept and receive it. You know, James 1:12 says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I love that. You know, when I got saved, it wasn't something I quit that got me saved. It was something that I got. It's not what you quit, it's what you get. I quit a lot of stuff after I got saved, don't get me wrong, because it changed me. I was born again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, the Bible says. And old things are passed away, all things have become new. Ooh, hallelujah. Something happened on the inside of me when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But I remember those days. I remember up to the day that I was saved. I was 19. I was in drug jails and just a wild lifestyle. And I thought if I could quit doing drugs if I could just quit doing drugs and quit cussing, I'd go to heaven. Somebody had been witnessing to me. I started getting under conviction of the Holy Ghost. And so I put my drugs on the shelf in a closet and thought, well, that's going to do it, man. And I tried my best not to say a cuss word for 2 or 3 days. Didn't work. I tried. But I thought, man, this is too tough. I can't do this. And, you know, a revelation came to me. Of course, now I know I didn't know as much then as I know now. A revelation came to me that I needed Jesus that it wasn't all the things I could quit. I could quit everything in the world and go to hell if I didn't receive Jesus. It's not what you quit, it's what you get. It's who you get. Jesus. And now listen, that's not an excuse, because here's what happened. When I finally laid down my arms to rebellion and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I went in that closet and grabbed those drugs off that shelf and got rid of, I flushed them down the commode. It no longer was something I was going to try to quit. And all of a sudden, he gave me the power to overcome those things. Are you with me? And I didn't want to do those things anymore. I wanted to serve him. I wanted to live for him. Something happened on the inside of me because of something I had received, which was him. When I prayed that prayer and I asked Jesus to come into my heart, I actually said, "Jesus, help me," is what I said. That's the words that I said, because I wasn't in church and I was reading my Bible, you know, the book of Revelation. You know, you ought to recommend everybody's lost to read the book of Revelation. It makes so much sense when you don't know the Lord. But anyway, that was a joke, and you'll laugh when you get home and you get thinking about that. But all I could figure out was I needed Jesus, and that's what I did, and that's how I got saved. And then, you know what? He helped me live for him after that. He gave me the strength to live for him. I didn't want to live the way I used to live before. I wanted to change some things. Was I perfect? No. Am I perfect now? No. But I tell you, I've honed some edges off of me. Did I not cuss after that? No, I cussed a few times after I got saved. But, you know, I started feeling bad about it, and I started working on cussing. In fact, I started working on saying glory to God when I'd stump my toe and I'd hit my hand with a hammer. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, I am healed. And so now if you were to hit me or I were to fall or something, I get a pain in my body, I'm just going to say, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God. It's habit. Did you know cussing's a habit? Yeah. You can change your habits. Amen? You can't. You can retrain yourself, think differently. Just a habit. If you have a habit of saying something bad when you hurt yourself, turn around and start saying something good. Turn it around. Amen? Okay. But I'm saved by grace, not by works. Is that what it says? 6 verses. Let's read again. And by grace then, if by grace, then it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it's works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You can't have it both ways. It's either or. Turn over to Acts 13th chapter. You know, I think of prominent figures in the Bible. Moses, obviously, Old Testament, is a prominent figure. Abraham, and of course, no one outshines Jesus. Jesus, the Son of the living God, God in the flesh, our Lord and Savior. But it's amazing when you think about all that the Jews, all they talked about Moses. You know, I always thought this was amazing to me. God never talked about us being the children of Moses or Moses being our father. You ever notice that? But all through the New Testament, Paul talking to Gentile churches. I mean, in Romans he says it, Galatians he says it. He talks about our father Abraham and that Abraham is the father of faith. You ever notice that? But he never says Moses is. And he says, you're the children of Abraham by faith. But he never says you're the children of Moses. Are you out there? Because Moses represents law and Abraham represents a promise that God made of righteousness. He accounted him righteous because he believed. Right? And that promise of righteousness, of right standing with God, which you and I are living in today if we're Christians and believers in Jesus, it started way back there with Abraham, a promise that God made to Abraham, and it was fulfilled in his seed, Jesus. And in Abraham, all nations were blessed. He said, in you, all nations will be blessed. But that was the result of a promise that God made to Abraham, and Abraham believing on that promise. It's not a result of adhering to a law and rewarding someone for work they did. That's the law. That's Moses. But that's not how righteousness comes. Righteousness doesn't come through Moses. It doesn't come through the law. It came through the promise of Abraham. And ultimately, of course, we know the fulfillment of that was in Jesus Christ. Now, notice Acts 13. Y'all turn to Acts. Let's do another either or here. Y'all catching on to this either or? Okay, we're kind of sounding like Eeyore out here, but Eeyore, yeah, I'm excited about that. It's either or, okay. Acts 13:37 says, "But he whom God raised again saw no corruption." Who's he talking about? Jesus, obviously. "Be it known," 38th verse, "to you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Y'all see that? 39th verse. "And by him all that believe are justified, made righteous, made holy." That's what justified. You might say justified is just if I'd never sinned. Justified, okay? Actually, in the Greek, which the New Testament was written in Greek originally, we've translated it, the word justified is the same Greek word for righteousness. Righteous and righteousness. When you see those words, it's all the same thing. "For by him all that believe are justified," or made righteous from all things, "from which you could not be justified," made righteous, "by the law of Moses." Either or. What Jesus did, the law couldn't do. Amen? What Jesus did, Moses couldn't do. We've been made righteous by what? All that believe are made righteous from all things, from which you could not be justified or made righteous by the law of Moses. So there's this contrast you see in the New Testament, obviously, between law and grace. Grace, freely given, nothing earned, it's a gift. Law, it's earned, it's worked, it's up to you. It's according to the flesh. It's how good you are and how good I am. Whether I went to church enough, whether I prayed enough, whether I read my Bible enough, whether I love people enough instead of hated them, and so on and so forth. And so if I do all those things good enough, then I'll go to heaven. I'll earn it. Or maybe pastoring. I've been pastoring for 31 years. Surely I go to heaven for just pastoring 31 years. I know some pastors say they've already been to hell, but that's not me. Because they, Eeyore. Y'all need to help me here, okay? But surely I'll go to heaven because I've been pastoring for 31 years. That doesn't make me any more of a Christian. It doesn't make me any more saved. It doesn't make me any more holy. In fact, I am no more a Christian today than I was the moment I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior years ago. 38 years ago. 38, sometime in May. I don't know the exact date because I wasn't in a church, but it was in May of 1975. Is that right? That's 38, isn't it? Yeah, 38 years ago. It was a Monday night? Monday night, okay. Now, that's when I got called to teach. That's more than, was it? Oh, hey, guys, don't ever argue with your wife in front of the church. Don't do that, okay? Okay, I apologize. I'm sorry. Anyway, a long time ago I got saved. But I'm not any more saved today because I pastored for 31 years than I was the day I got saved. When I got saved, I was born again. I was washed in the blood. I became a child of God, and God became my Father. Hallelujah. And I became a believer in Jesus. And I'm no more a child of God today, no more a believer in Jesus today. God is no more my Father today than he was that day. Because this is a matter of birth. It's a matter of belief. And what separates me from the world is not, you know, I'm always cautious to say this because people twist this and get it all wrong, because I do believe in holy living. I believe the Bible tells us we should live holy. And if you are a Christian, you will. It doesn't mean you won't sin, but you won't enjoy it. You cannot continue in sin as a Christian, believe God and pray and seek God without feeling guilt and shame and wanting to repent of it. Are you with me? Are you out there? Yeah. But what divides me from the world is not morality. This is not a moral line. What divides me from the world is a faith line. They're unbelievers. We are believers. I believe. They do not believe. You have to believe in Jesus to go to heaven. Are you with me? And it's that Jesus was very plain. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Now look, if you got a map out and you're in Wills Point, Texas, and you want to go to Dallas, you can only head west to get to Dallas. You cannot say, "Well, I think I'll just head east." Well, Dallas is not east. Dallas is west. Well, I mean, if it doesn't really matter which way we go, we'll finally get there. No, you won't, because Dallas is a particular place and a particular thing, and there's a way to get there, and the way is west. Look at any map, and you'll see that if you live in Wills Point, Texas. Hello? So often we'll say, "Well, you know, I'm pretty good. I can't see God sending me to hell." Well, God doesn't send anybody to hell. We go there. We're going there right now. Everyone's going to hell until they accept Jesus. God doesn't send anybody there. Everybody's going to hell until they accept Jesus. Till they decide, hey, you know what? I don't want to go to hell. I think I'll go to heaven. Amen? And you've got to turn around to do that. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So when you accept him, it's either or. You either go with Jesus or you'll go to hell. Just only two ways there are, and that's just the way it is. You can't be good enough. The law can't get you to heaven. It can't make you righteous. In fact, what the law couldn't do, Jesus did. What your works couldn't do, his works did. Woo! What law couldn't do, grace did. Favor did. Salvation's a gift. You got to receive it. You know, so many people have never received the gift. It's like having your Christmas presents under the tree year by year by year. You know, a lot of you just decorate your tree and put it in a closet and bring it back out. I know people that do that. You know, but salvation-wise, some of us have got our gifts wrapped and we never unwrap them. And they're still there. And the gift's to everybody, but everybody doesn't unwrap them. And God's wanting us to come unwrap the gift. Amen? It's grace. It's free. Hallelujah. You know, grace is where God does all the work. And you just receive from him, and he gets all the glory. Law is where you do all the work, you offer it to God, and God receives your work, and you get all the glory. Hello? Now, I'd rather go with his than mine. Whew, the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. The gift of God's eternal life. See, either or, there's an either or there in that also. Turn to John 1. Give you some ammo when the devil comes and tells you you're not saved and tells you you're not good enough. Well, of course I'm not good enough. I never said I was good enough. I'm going to heaven because I believe in Jesus. Amen? And I'm working on things. I'll never be good enough. I mean, some point in your life, I don't know. I know this sounds kind of weird, but some point in your life, you are probably going to get mad at somebody. I know it's a shock. I know you're thinking, no way, not me. I never get mad at anybody. Or you're going to get frustrated, or you might get a little bitter or something. Anybody ever been there? I know probably not in this church because we're all Christians, right? We're saved. We never done that. But you know, the Bible says that's sin. Well, are you lost as soon as you get mad? God, I hope not. Stick the fork in, we're all done. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. We're all going to hell if that's the case. I'm going to heaven because I believe in Jesus. And the Bible tells me, let not the sun go down on my wrath, and I need to repent of it. Because if you don't repent of it, it's going to get worse, and it's going to grow, and you're going to be a bitter, bitter person. You don't want to go down that road. Amen? Hallelujah. John, first chapter, found it? Man, this is so good. In fact, what I need to do is turn there myself. Wouldn't that be awesome? John, the first chapter. Of course, John, the first chapter, talks about the beginning, you know, and that Jesus was in the beginning as God. And we know he was. Hallelujah. And it says everything was made by him, and everything was created by him. And then it says that he was the true light that lights every man that comes in the world. Then he says in the 14th verse, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. And we beheld the glory, his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Awesome stuff about Jesus. Notice what it says down here in the 16th verse. It says, of his fullness we've all received grace for grace. I'm reading out of King James here. Everybody say grace for grace. I love that. If you're going to receive Jesus, it's a matter of grace. It's a matter of favor. It's nothing you earn. But notice the 17th verse. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So there's no grace in the law. Well, I believe in all those laws. I believe in all those commandments. Well, I believe in them too. I think we should keep the commandments. Do not twist what I'm saying here. We should keep the commandments. It's wrong to lie. It's wrong to steal. It's wrong to commit adultery. It's wrong to dishonor your parents. And, you know, the list goes on. And those are moral standards that you and I should live by. I understand that. But those moral standards don't save us, never did save us. Those moral standards don't make us righteous, never did make us righteous. Those moral standards did not promise to any of us eternal life. They were not given to us to save us. That's not why they were given. Jesus was given to save us, not the law. Well, if I could just be good enough. No, you can't be good enough. Are you out there? You cannot be good enough. There is not one law that says if you will keep this law, you will have eternal life. Go read your Old Testament. There's no law that says that. It never was offered as a result of being good. Are you listening? See, we got to get this in our head and get in our thinking, because we still kind of go there sometimes, you know. We still kind of think, well, you know, I've been pretty good, or maybe I'm not good enough, or we still play that game in our head. And we need to live holy as a Christian, as a believer, but that does not save me. That does not make me worthy to get my prayers answered. That does not make me, well, I've been a good boy, God. He's got a list. He's checking it twice. No, that's Santa Claus. Come on, that's not God. God knows all about us, I understand. And there are consequences to our sin, and there's sowing and reaping. That's another story, and I believe that. But I am never going to be good enough to get my prayer answered. Are you kidding me? Well, I'm praying about this, God. I'm asking you to help me with this, and I know you will, because I've been real good. Are you out there? Well, really, you know what's all happened to me is all these things I did in my life's come back to haunt me, and all those sins I committed. Well, maybe that's the case. I don't know. But you know what? You can repent of sin. You can repent of sin, and you can believe God. Now, when I came to Jesus and got saved, I didn't get saved because I was so good. I got saved because I was lost and believed on Jesus. I needed to be saved, and only my faith in Him would get me saved. Nothing I did brought me to Jesus. No sin I committed made me good enough to merit Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The only thing I had was my faith to believe, my choice, my will to turn over to Him. And says, here I am. I believe. Are you with me? But you know, we still play that same game many times in trying to get healed or trying to get trying to get peace or trying to get out of a mess we got in. We'll sit there and think about all the bad things we've done, which you need to repent of them, okay? We'll think about how unworthy we are. Well, do you think anybody in here is worthy to get their prayers answered? Has anybody in here been good enough in the natural, you know what I'm saying? Works that you've done or I've done. Anybody been good enough to get a prayer answered? I mean, somebody comes up here and gets healed, you know. Is that because they're so good, or is that because by His stripes we were healed? Is it because they're good, or is it because they call for the elders and they anoint Him with oil in the name of the Lord and a prayer of faith, save the sick, prayer of faith, 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 not works, faith, save the sick, and the Lord raised him up. If he's committed any sins, they've been forgiven him. Amen? See, the devil just hammer at you even after you're saved. He'll hammer at you and bring up 1,000 reasons why you can't get your prayers answered, why you're not good enough, why God doesn't care about you, just something about you he doesn't like. I just don't know why God just doesn't like you. No, so-and-so, he likes them. But I don't know, he just doesn't like me like that. Are you kidding me? He loves us. He loves all of us, every one of us. We all count, we're all important. And he wants to move in our lives if we will just believe. Amen? Notice what Jesus brought. He brought favor and he brought grace. He didn't bring law. It says the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The truth about God's in Jesus. You say, well, I just am a follower of Moses. Well, you're not going to go to heaven then. Are you with me? If you just follow Moses. Now, if you finally get to what Moses was pointing to and what all the law pointed to, then you'll finally get to Jesus and you can get saved. Because Jesus is that rock that water came out of. And Jesus is that manna that came down from heaven. And Jesus is that lamb. Are you with me? John saw him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Woo! Hey, Mark 9, we'll close this out. Is helping anybody? Mark 9, I just want you to get to think about it, you know. You need to examine your faith. See where you are. What do you believe and why do you believe it? Can't be both. This is not a mix of you and God. It's all God. Jesus said, in fact, Philip asked Jesus, said, who then can be saved? Jesus said, with men it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. And then he went on to say in Mark 9:23, in fact, turn to Mark 9. I'm not you can look up that 23rd verse. That's actually not what I'm going to read. But he says in Mark 9:23, he says, all things are possible to him that believeth. Him that's good enough, him that works hard enough, him that believes. Y'all remember, hey, you remember when Peter and John healed the man lame at the gate, beautiful, you know, in Acts, the third chapter? You remember that they went up to the gate, and there's this man lame, asked for alms, and Peter looked steadfastly, fixed his eyes upon him, and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. He took him by his right hand, jerked him up, and I mean, he began to leap and dance and shout and praise God. You remember that? And they all gathered around Solomon's porch, and everybody greatly wondering came, and Peter said this. He said, why look you on us? Why do you look at us as if by our own holiness or power we have made this man strong? Because that's often what we say, isn't it? Well, you know, the apostles, nobody like the apostles. Nobody's holy like they are. Whoa, man, they're holy. Holy moly. They're so holy. Woo-hoo. No, they weren't that holy. In fact, the Bible even tells us of their sin. Peter, even after he got saved and full of the Holy Ghost, sinned. And Paul rebuked him to his face about it. Yeah, it's in the Galatians. You ought to go read it. He wasn't perfect. None of us were. Paul wasn't perfect. Peter wasn't perfect. Only Jesus was perfect. So Peter says, you think we did that because we're so holy? Man, I tell you what, if I was that holy, I'd pray for somebody to be healed. Well, you might as well stick the fork in. You're never going to be that holy. There's nobody that holy. Only Jesus is that holy. What you need to do is just believe. What Peter said to him was this. He said, why do you look on us as if by our own holiness or power we've made this man strong before you and healed before you? He said, be it known to you and all of Israel that by the name of Jesus, yea, through faith in his name, this man stands before you whole and strong. Peter said it was by faith and the use of the name of Jesus. Nothing to do with his holiness. Are you out there? Okay. I said I was going to close out. I said I was going to close out by turning to the scripture. Didn't mean I couldn't quote a bunch of other scriptures. Okay. It's a little trick I have. You know, you think, we're fixing to stop. But Mark 9, this is where Jesus was transfigured among them. Let me give you a background. We'll skip some verses here. And Jesus went up on the mount. Peter, James, and John went up with him. That's significant, too, because there's 12 apostles. There was three that might be the inner circle, as it were. You can get as close to Jesus as you want to get, amen? And so they moved in a little closer. They went up on the mount and were praying. And evidently, like a lot of us, Peter, James, and John fell asleep. And they were sleeping, and all of a sudden, Jesus was transfigured among them. In other words, he shined like the sun. His garments were white and glistening. And third verse says, his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller can white them. The fourth verse says, there appeared unto him Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Luke's account says they were talking about his decease that he should accomplish at Jerusalem, about his death that was coming up. And they appeared there, and Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Let's just put them all on an equal basis. Let's just put them all the same. You know, whatever Moses said, just as good as what Jesus said. Whatever Elijah said, just as good as what Jesus said. Whatever Elijah did, just as good as what Jesus did. Are you with me? Whatever Moses did, just as good as what Jesus did, right? It's all in the Bible. They're all in there. All of the same. Let's just put them all on the same level. Let's worship all three. Oh my. And it says, I love this King James says. He said this because he wist not what to say. I don't know whoever wist not, but in other words, he was ignorant and didn't know what he was talking about. And he didn't know what he was talking about, and he didn't know what to say, and he just let that blurted that out, you know. He wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Eighth verse, and suddenly when they had looked around about, they didn't see any man anymore, save Jesus only. You know, if you'll think about that, what God is saying from heaven is saying, between Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, that's what they represent. And Jesus, we need to hear Jesus and him alone. Are you out there? Either or. You can't have both. You say, well, I'm going to live according to law, and then I'm going to live according to grace. You can't do that. Can't do that. Well, I'm going to trust in the law, my works, and I'm going to trust in grace. No, you can't. You can't. You can't do it. You can't have it both ways. You can't do both things. It's either or. If it's grace, it's grace. If it's works, it's works. Are you with me? And there's no question, according to the Scripture, that Jesus fulfilled the law, completed it, it's passed away, and now we go to heaven by faith in Jesus alone. And between Jesus and even Moses, sometimes I read things about in Moses, and it's all the Word of God, stay with me. But sometimes it sounds different than what Jesus said. Are you with me? Are you out there? You know, they came to Jesus with a woman caught in an act of adultery, and they quoted Moses. They said, the law says, stone her, what do you say? And they had Scripture. They had Moses' words, okay? But Jesus said, well, let him without sin, let him cast the first stone. They all walked out from the eldest to the youngest because the elders were smart enough to know they had sinned. And finally it got down to those proud, arrogant young people, and they finally decided, I guess we're not so good after all either. And they left from the eldest to the youngest. And there's nobody left but Jesus. And Jesus said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, well, there are none. And he said, well, I don't accuse you either. Now listen, he said, go and sin no more. He didn't say it was okay what she was doing. He didn't say, go keep doing that. He said, go sin no more. Neither do I accuse thee. Go sin no more. Aren't you glad we're not under the law? Did you know there is no forgiveness for adultery under the law? Zero. Did you know in the law there's a lot of peace offerings you can make and grain offerings you can make and, you know, for all kinds of sin, but if you're caught in adultery, they take you out and stone you. There is no forgiveness in the law. There's not one way you can be forgiven under the law for adultery. Thank God for grace. Are you with me? In fact, if you just smart off your parents. If they get upset enough, they'll throw you in front of the elders and they'll stone you and kill you for smarting off to your parents. I'd like to bring that one back. But anyway, No, I wouldn't. I'm just kidding. I'm just seeing if you're awake out there. But that's what the law says. I mean, see, the law is hard. It's cruel. It's judgment. And Jesus came and he took our judgment. He took all those penalties. Hallelujah. And he paid the price and we're saved by grace. Hallelujah. And we need to hear him. Thank God for grace. By grace we're saved. Amen.